Caleb was not beautiful at table. Inclined by nature to view food solely as a source of sustenance and not of pleasure, he had developed a series of time-saving procedures to reduce the daily commitment to feeding, none of which was pleasant to behold. The meal arriving, he was wont to pare the larger chunks on his plate down to a small enough size so that they did not present a choking hazard, and then simply slurry everything into a uniform, readily consumable paste, stopping only when the separate nature of no component part was discernible. By this act, he saved much time that would otherwise have been wasted on the delicate but superfluous matter of tailoring every bite and weighing how to pace his meal so as to deliver a maximum of flavor. He would then lower his head directly over the now featureless victuals, his face in perfect parallel to the dining surface, the distance between its receiving port and the goods to be delivered narrowed to its minimum, and shovel. He would not actually see most of what he ate, but there was always a great deal of noise, sort of like a parched animal quenching her thirst at a muddy watering hole. It was a very aggressive snorking, though oddly clean, as efficiency was also among his desires. Waste bothered him. After the primary process of becoming fed was accomplished, the serving platter needed to be scraped with programmatic ruthlessness so that no scampering scrap remained. He would then lick the utensils to a gleaming, unsanitary finish. Satiated, his shirt front remained immaculate. He ate never at home. This seemed the most logical choice, as he need expend no time in food prep, which he found tedious, or in cleaning up, which was beneath him. And he liked to keep his kitchenette factory fresh. He was also relatively well-moneyed, and never obliged to break his bread in the company of anyone, so the economic burden of taking breakfast, lunch, and supper in the eatery was noticeable but not crushing to him. It also provided the perfect conditions for engaging in his favorite postprandial activity to assist the digestion: staring. He would sit before the devastated table and openly ogle whoever came readily to hand. Women, for their value as objects of his discerning and frustrated lust, and men as specimens for study, as he did so wish to improve himself to the point where his own terrible condition of singlehood might be dissolved. Yesterday, he had been staring at one of the company auditors. "Ooh," the internal monologue had run. "Ooh, yes. She is an optimal one. Most optimal. My eye observes her curves, takes in with readiness the contours of this broad-faced specimen. She clearly gets good nutrition. I see already in her spending patterns a heavy preference for hygiene and fitness-related products and services. Look how the perfect whiteness of that upper set stands out at almost military attention against the inviting, walnut ruddiness of her skin. Does she frequent the appropriate couture sites and pepper her correspondence with quotations therefrom derived? Ooh, yes, I am certain she does. Optimal indeed." The auditor had been blithely unaware. She toyed with her handheld and appeared to receive information that was of mixed value, unwelcome but unimportant. Then she frowned with her brow and her lip, finishing with the kiss of a pout. Caleb saw it all. With a directed gesture, she signaled to the kitchen that preparations for her first course could commence. Briefly, dimly, she had seemed conscious of being the object of some sort of social attention, perhaps from the well-dressed gentleman in the tight-fitting slacks there in the corner. She had looked about nervously and recrossed her legs. Then she returned her attention to her device and remained buried in consultation of it as Caleb's eyes remained upon her. "Optimal. A perfect fit," the monologue continued. Caleb was, in fact, a well-dressed man and lavished much of the time saved in nourishing his body on clothing it. His shirt was tailored and his buttons shone. "And a breeding one, too. The indicators are obvious, even from her commercial behavior. Look at the brands, the labeling, all of it from the finer shops, but not this season's offerings. And her bag is screaming at its seams that it was last year's hottest pattern. This is a woman who is saving, a woman who has plans. And planning is these days, as we well know, strongly correlated with the willingness for children in females. It is the wastrel woman who is wanton. It is she who delights in having those terrible infant-preventing things implanted, the spend-crazy 20-nothing. They are sterile. But not you, dear thing.